Hello and welcome to the ChannelBuzz.ca podcast, the final ChannelBuzz.ca podcast for 2021, in fact. I'm Robert Dutt, still editor of ChannelBuzz.ca and still your host for the show. Earlier this month, Kaspersky opened its first transparency center in North America with the announcement that the new facility in Fredericton, New Brunswick is now online. In this edition of the podcast, we find out all about the facility, what partners and customers can do there, and what exactly is a transparency center anyway in the first place, as we're joined by Rob Cataldo, Managing Director of Kaspersky North America. Rob, who is a great first name, by the way, walks us through Kaspersky's Global Transparency Initiative and how the transparency centers fit within it, explains the who's, whys, what's, when's, where's, and how's of the new facility, and breaks down what it all means for the company and its partners alike. Rob takes us through why Fredericton was chosen for the facility, who it's partnering with, and the challenges in opening a facility in New Brunswick during the COVID-19 pandemic and the Atlantic bubble, as well as talks about the kind of activities the company expects to run out of the new location. And we also get into the future of the center and for Kaspersky's Global Transparency Initiative. It's a great conversation, so let's get right into it. My chat with Rob Cataldo. Rob, thanks so much for taking the time. I appreciate you joining us on the podcast.
Yeah, thanks for having me, Rob. Really appreciate it.
I know this has been a long time coming, getting the Transparency Center up and running in Canada. I look forward to discussing the North American debut of Transparency Centers. But I think maybe it makes sense to introduce the concept a little first, because facilities called Transparency Centers, not exactly something that you see every day. Can you maybe start us off with a little bit about what exactly a Transparency Center is?
Yeah, I agree. It is a fairly unique concept, unique term in cybersecurity, and we're excited about it. The Transparency Center itself is just really the physical representation of a larger concept that has come to be known as the Global Transparency Initiative. And that initiative was formed about 4 years ago, and it's really aimed at engaging the broader information security community and really any other stakeholders in validating and verifying the trustworthiness of our products, our internal processes, and our business operations overall. And so as part of that overall GTI, there are a lot of supporting measures, primarily about four of them. That includes independent reviews of our source code, our software updates, and our detection rules, independent review of our secure development lifecycle process, and then the transparency centers, which are located globally, obviously the newest one being in New Brunswick, there in Fredericton at Knowledge Park, the new cyber center. And that's really there to address any concerns of customers or trusted partners, government stakeholders, to conduct a secure code review within the center itself, among many other things. And there's other measures in place as part of that GTI as well. But that's the overall concept itself.
That's the strategy. So then mostly at the Transparency Center, it would be one books oneself in. You can go in and take a look at the code, discuss sort of processes and those sorts of things with folks from Kaspersky.
Correct. So we will guide anyone interested through a full-fledged code review. And that, you know, that does sort of assume that one who would be interested in conducting that type of an investigation would know what to look for. And for those folks who do not, but are still concerned about, you know, potentially the trustworthiness or the security of the solution, to know that it is doing exactly what it's been coded to do, which is to protect our customers or partners. We actually do offer free trainings that are part of a cyber capacity building program that would train someone on what to look for when conducting a code review on either Kaspersky's products or really any third party's products, other vendors that they might rely on for security or otherwise.
Interesting. So what can you, I know this is the first one in North America, but what's kind of the history of building out these centers around the world?
Yes, sure. So the first center that we built was in Zurich, Switzerland. That was in late 2018. And that center serves as a facility for partners to access company code reviews, software updates, threat detection rules. In 2019, we opened a transparency center in Madrid. And then we've since opened up ones in Brazil and in Malaysia as well. And so now we feel like we have most of the major continents where we operate covered as far as being able to provide access to a secure location where interested parties, again, may want to go to conduct these reviews. But as you can tell from you know the Madrid Transparency Center, there are other activities and events that can be built around these physical locations other than for the express purpose of just conducting a review of our actual source code.
Mm-hmm. Okay, great. So tell me about how one gets involved, visits, interacts with, takes a look at the code, that sort of thing. Can you sort of walk me through the requirements for a partner or customer to get in and what kind of that process looks like to engage there?
Yeah, I mean, it's fairly straightforward. We want to obviously secure, we want to ensure the security and privacy of any Kaspersky users. So we would follow our own internal policy to grant authorizations to Transparency Center visits. Mm-hmm. But, you know, really in brief, this includes, you know, outlining the scope of a request for a visit, getting necessary security approvals within the relevant departments, and then agreeing on dates. And then modalities of the visits, meaning, you know, is this going to take place purely online or is it purely offline, a combination of the two? Mm-hmm. If we're doing it purely remotely, there are certain things that we wouldn't be able to cover that would necessitate, you know, being in this secured physical location of the Transparency Center to do. So that could vary depending on, again, the modality of the visit itself. And then obviously we have to pay attention to the global health situation and ensure that that those protocols would allow us to conduct an offline procedure.
Okay. And a typical engagement, if a partner customer wants to come and take a look at something, is this typically sort of a one day come in, take a look, we're good to go kind of thing? Or basically, what does a typical engagement look like in terms of the actual experience, the time taken there?
Yeah, I mean, a typical engagement for any of these reviews would probably take about 60 minutes. So certainly it could be done in one day. But there are, as I mentioned, opportunities to certainly use adjacent space. Like, for instance, in the Transparency Center in New Brunswick, there is a physical location right next to our own Transparency Center that serves as a training room that our partner CyberNB would use for multiple reasons. And the idea for any customer or potential customer partners that might want to come in to conduct a review would hopefully be part of a larger event where we would be able to do things like showcasing demonstration of specific other solutions that might make sense for their environments, their needs, trainings, which we're also going to make available on many levels, whether you're a threat analyst, a researcher, or just looking for security awareness training at say the management level to understand, you know, how your team and you should react in the event of a cyber emergency. So the idea will be to try and expand the time of the actual transparency interview, especially if it's offline, if it's an in-person event, to ensure we're adding more value to the time spent traveling to that location and then being able to maximize the value of the visit and the engagement overall.
All right, great. So what does it mean to you guys and to your partner base to have that center in North America now? Obviously before you could have handled some of the kind of requests you're getting virtually and maybe even facilitated some travel across the pond in pre-pandemic days. But what does it mean to have that sort of that final continent in the big markets online now?
Yeah, although it was delayed for health reasons, like many, many things, the outfitting of the building, the completion of the structure itself was certainly delayed, but we're excited that it has now been officially opened as of the beginning of December 21. And It means a whole lot. We're really, really excited that we were able to fulfill the promise of the Global Transparency Initiative, again, that started about 4 years ago, to have these major physical locations and representations of openness, of transparency, and of trust in every major continent where we operate. And certainly North America is one of our most prominent regions. And cybersecurity, we're on obviously the very early adopter stage of many cyber technologies here. So we thought it would be exceptionally important to fulfill that promise and provide that opportunity to our partners and to our customers. And we really think of ourselves as sort of setting the standard for openness in transparency by having not only the physical center, but the overall initiative. And, you know, we're really hoping that the rest of the industry will aspire to that standard, because this really comes down to, or it has the intention, right, of providing partners and customers with the degree of confidence in the solutions that they're using to protect their own data, that, again, these solutions and the companies that represent those solutions are as open and trustworthy as possible.
Okay. What can you tell me about why Fredericton was chosen? It's a lovely city. And actually, as fate would have it, my cousin lives there. So I've been out there a few times over the years. But it is not necessarily the biggest transit hub in North America, obviously. But yeah, why Fredericton? I mean, you've hinted at your partner CyberNB being there. I suspect that's a big part of it. But what can you tell me about why Fredericton?
Yeah, it certainly is a big part of it. And I can attest to Fredericton being a very, very nice town. I got the chance to visit for the grand opening in early December, and just a quaint town. Had an amazing time there, not only, you know, in the town and within the surrounding community itself, but within the people of CyberNB. And CyberNB has proven to be an amazing, amazing partner. I mean, we would have really considered many, many locations. And in fact, we did, as we sought to find a good location to really host this physical transparency center. And we were connected with CyberNB, and what we found was that we shared many of the same interests concerning transparency for each of our respective missions. You know, their mission is collaboration among industry, academia, and government. And sharing of best practices to promote cybersecurity for many, many businesses. They have a specialty in critical infrastructure. We have specially designed products and services for the benefit of the protection of critical infrastructure. So that was a great common interest. And in addition to that, as we started talking about the importance of openness and trustworthiness and these standards for transparency, we found out that they would be building their own transparency center within the cyber center itself. So we could compare notes as we developed our own respective centers and collaborate on those activities. So it's really been a really, really great match, a really great partnership. Lo and behold, as we were talking to them, they told us they had space available within their brand new state-of-the-art building where they could host our physical location. And so it just made a great deal of sense to decide on not only CyberNB as a partner, but Fredericton with the new cyber center in Knowledge Park. And again, a very, very exciting chapter for Kaspersky North America.
All right, great. Can you tell me that you've hinted at this, you know, certainly, but can you share a little bit of sort of the journey as relates to COVID with getting the center open? I know it was originally slated for last year, but obviously last year, just getting into and out of the Atlantic bubble was all but impossible. I can't imagine what it would have been like to try to open a new facility and get stuff and staff and all that stuff in there. Can you tell us sort of the journey it's been to get to opening in early December?
Yeah, I mean, for most of us, it's required through this pandemic season. Unfortunately, it's required a lot of patience on everyone's part. And you know, I think we always have to expect the unexpected in business. But now we've had to level up our game for expecting the unexpected when you layer in the pandemic, the shifting health data, new restrictions that are being placed on different regions of the world. And as a result, a lot of supplies and contracting availability were just delayed and scarce at times, which meant that, you know, we were able to at least make a preliminary announcement about a year ago that we would be opening up our new transparency center in Knowledge Park, the new cyber center. And then we ended up just incurring a series of delays. I believe the first delay had us slated to open up in July of this year. And then again, we were delayed maybe one or two more times. And officially, CyberNB gave us the word that this time we're actually planning an event. The Atlantic bubble has opened up, at least temporarily, and we hope it's not too temporary. But anyway, it opened up and we were able to do the grand opening. CyberNB was able to invite many of their distinguished SIPNet members. And we were privileged enough to be a part of that and to have a speaking engagement where we talked about our one of our training platforms. And there was a lot of interest in that. And so we're very, very excited and hopeful that we'll be able to schedule some events for training, either in the Transparency Center itself or in the adjacent training room, where we'll be able to hopefully pour some knowledge into some of the interested folks that are part of that SIPNet ecosystem and further our relationships with not only them, but certainly with partners who are involved as well.
All right. And that's that speaks nicely to where I'd like to go next, which is sort of what does it mean to partners in North America to have this center open and available to them, as well as sort of how have you seen partners around the world use the existing facilities in Europe and Brazil and Malaysia?
Yeah, it's a great, great thing for our partners. And, you know, as I mentioned, we believe we're really setting the standards for transparency and openness and trustworthiness across the industry. And so, if you're locking arms with a manufacturer within cybersecurity, services provider like we are, and you're able to promote the level of transparency and the lengths that they've gone to ensure that people know and understand exactly what it is that we're doing, everything about our business processes and secure development practices, obviously that gives partners a degree of confidence and conviction and being able to properly position that as the right solution for their customers. So in many, many respects, the physical transparency centers that we have located, again, are just the physical representations of one of the supporting measures of the overall GTI concept and are very symbolic. So I think many, many partners are using the centers themselves as the commitment that we've made to this notion of transparency, and then using that as a symbol to instill the level of confidence that they want their customers to have as they position Kaspersky as the right solution for their specific needs. And so I think that'll be a huge way that partners use that beyond maybe, you know, in-person events that we can schedule in addition to any of the code reviews that might take place.
Okay, great. Let's talk a little bit about the future and where it sort of goes from here. You've already suggested some of the directions you could see the facility and the other facilities playing in the future, but other thoughts on sort of where it could go, the use of the transparency centers, as well as are there at this point sort of plans to expand the network, or is this kind of the main geographies are covered off and we're good there?
So no firm plans at this moment to expand in other regions and build additional transparency centers. But I know what our organization has done a great job of is listening to the needs, listening to the concerns of partners, listening to those of customers, of analysts, of regulators. And as those shift or as they expand, we will certainly listen and we will do our absolute best to respond to those by taking measures beyond, you know, the existing framework of the Global Transparency Initiative. And if that entails opening up more centers because there's demand for partners and other stakeholders to have better access in certain regions to those types of code reviews, then that's certainly something we'll always consider. And as long as it's feasible, it is something that that we will absolutely try and pursue to the best of our ability. And then beyond that, I would expect that we'll continue to flesh out the transparency initiative itself. And recent examples of that have been this transparency report that we now issue on a 6-month basis. Mm-hmm. That will disclose all of the different data requests that we receive from government, from regulators, from partners or customers throughout the year. So we'll share first of all, the protocol that we follow when we do receive those types of data requests, the specific data that was requested, and if we honored that request, what types of data was actually shared with the requesting party. And so that will be public knowledge, just another way to be, again, completely cards up. Mm-hmm. And open and transparent with the industry on what types of information sharing, responsible information sharing we're engaging in. And then additionally, we've also recently redirected a lot of the telemetry traffic that comes from, or I should say all of the telemetry traffic that comes from North America, Europe, and LATAM over to the Switzerland data center. So now all that data is collected in that data center, and it actually stays there as another measure to ensure that there's data privacy is being prioritized, and that it all stays in sort of a neutral site where that's collected. So just another measure, and again, I believe that we'll continue to evolve and expand the program as we move ahead, but it's all in the manner of being as open and trustworthy as we possibly can.
All right. That's kind of where I wanted to go with this. Anything else that you want to bring up, or any parting shots you might have in terms of the GTI, the transparency centers, or the training opportunities that that exist around this facility and these plans?
I would just tell our partners that they can really look forward to the events that we're really keen to schedule. I know, again, we're going to have to navigate our way through the health and safety protocols, but when and if it is safe, we will be planning events to do all kinds of trainings and showing off our new transparency center. We'll also show you CyberNB has a very impressive critical infrastructure security operations center, of which Kaspersky's threat data feeds are a big part of. So we'll be happy to showcase those for any interested customers that could use meaningful threat intelligence to help shore up their protection posture. So we're excited about those events, and we hope you are too. And we're looking forward to having you on the invite list.
Perfect. I want to say thank you for joining us for the podcast. It's been very informative, and good luck with the center.
Thank you so much, Rob. Appreciate you having us.
So there you have it, a look at Kaspersky's new North American Transparency Center, courtesy of Rob Cataldo. I'd like to thank Rob for joining us on the podcast, thank Kaspersky for their ongoing support of the site, and, of course, thank you for listening. As I mentioned off the top, and as should be obvious based on the date on the calendar, this is the last ChannelBuzz.ca podcast of 2021. On behalf of the team here, we'd like to wish you and yours a very happy 2022. May it be a great year for all of us after two straight pandemic years. The fact that it's a new year next week means that we'll be back after our January 1st hangover wears off with our 10th annual New Year's podcast series. 10 years, hard to believe. This year, we're kicking things off by taking a look back at what was a very eventful 2021 in distribution with Bill Brandel, Country Chief Executive for Ingram Micro Canada. Between now and then, we'd invite you to subscribe to or follow the podcast in your podcast engine of choice, and if you should feel so inclined, please do leave us a generous review so others can find the show. All right, have a great new year, and for the last time this year, I'm Robert Dutt for ChannelBuzz.ca. Stay safe out there, and I'll see you around the channel.